This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Monday morning. Well, crazy game yesterday, and Eagles obviously lost it. Jalen's concussion. You know, defense gets five turnovers, but struggles in a lot of ways. Devontae's drop. You know, it was frustrating, obviously. End of the world? I think not. But we'll talk about it today, talk about it extensively, because a lot of parts of the team obviously come into focus, and we'll do it with you at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
There are 364 presents in the 12 days of Christmas.
364, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they really add up.
That's
you just keep
saying them
and tossing them in there.
Pretty good, man. All right, so not so good the Eagles yesterday. I'll be fascinated to see how people react today on the show. I'm going to give you my headline right out of the gate, and that is I really don't think this game matters that much. I'm just being honest with you. I really am. Look, we'll talk about it. And there are aspects that were really frustrating, and after the game at one point on Twitter, I said brutal, and of course it was, right? But does it really matter that much? Here's the deal. It would matter a lot more if Detroit and Minnesota had lost. A lot more. Like, I don't think the outlook for the postseason really changes much at all. Now, I don't like the
possibility. Well, it doesn't.
Okay, John, go ahead.
It doesn't change.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, it's become more clear. Now we can't get the one seed. So it's you don't even have to worry about what those other teams are doing. You are locked into the two, maybe the five. I don't know.
What do you mean the five? What do you mean?
If you keep losing, I don't know what could happen.
I'm not worried
about
that.
Expect us to keep losing. No. I think crazy things happen this time of year, and it never fails. It just so happened we got caught up in it this time around, and some lack of focus, I guess, but really, Jalen and this offense were kicking butt, and he gets the hit on the ground to the head, and it changed the way the game was called. I thought a great point was made, I guess, by Greg Olson. Think about the way the game is called when it's third and two and fourth and two for the Philadelphia Eagles, when it's Jalen Hurts under center and when it's Kenny Pickett under center.
I totally agree.
When it's Kenny Pickett under center yesterday, we threw it, and we failed. You know, and that wasn't great. And we were less consistent at converting. And that's just the way it is with a backup quarterback. And we were sloppy against a well-coached group. And the Eagles
were fine. They were sloppy.
We lost our quarterback. You don't win games like that ordinarily. But, you know, also the defense got tired in the second half.
I agree with that.
Our defense got tired in the second half when our backup quarterback couldn't sustain drives. You can see how everything is interrelated. And you got man and blitz against Jalen, and then you saw the change. Man and blitz versus Jalen, that's part of why he was running for days, because man coverage, guys turning their backs. We were ready for a huge day. And then, zone and single high safety against Kenny Pickett, and just make him beat you, make him matriculate down the field. And Saquon, nice day running the ball again, but it felt like
But a huge difference without Jalen in there, a huge difference the running game.
Jalen's
other than the one
presence
run,
makes a huge difference for Saquon's purposes.
That's my point.
It's
clear
massive
as
difference. Massive. The way the backside is held.
Correct.
And so I do think also, you know, it's inexcusable at the end of the game to have 12 guys on the field. There were things where Vic Fangio was playing off and soft at the end of the game with coverage when they only needed two plays to get into our side of the field.
Well,
I think it's a huge factor, special teams wise, that Sidney Brown jumped off sides on that final kickoff.
John,
that gave another 5 yards to their field position, which was already incredible. They started their final drive at the 43-yard line.
I'm well aware.
The 43-yard line.
Well, how about
that's a massive fail, special teams-wise, setting yourself up for failure as a team.
Yeah.
And then Vic Fangio is playing off and soft. I mean, 10 yards off and soft for those two plays, which the Commanders got the ball onto our half of the field. That was way too easy. And it was just a temporary, sloppy, like a lapse. And that's part of what gets you beaten this time of year when crazy things happen, when other teams have so much to yet play for and so much to prove, and a young quarterback and fresh new ideas coursing through that city. And
that was huge for Washington because they were playing to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, teams like the Rams were coming. Like, it was starting to get a little interesting.
Massive motivation.
At the bottom of the playoff structure in the NFC, you know, Dallas and San Francisco were still technically eligible as of, you know, they're gone, which is good, by the way. But my point is, like, why
so many plays
a huge
that,
win
that
for
could
Washington.
Have been, if the focus is there, and you cannot tell me a dropped pass has nothing to do with focus. I know that sometimes you just drop it. Focus. You watch that thing in the whole way with Super Bowl focus. Yeah. You don't drop it. Saquon Barkley dropped one. Devontae Smith dropped one that would have preserved the game, won the game.
Yeah.
It was so fluky and situational. Joe, I agree with you. It doesn't matter as much as it feels like it matters.
I think that's a good way to put it. See, this is going to be an interesting show because I hear John says, like, you know, it's really not that big a deal. And he gets all worked up for like 3 minutes.
Well, it's infuriating, in the grand scheme of things.
I think that's right.
We need to take a step back. We need to take a breath.
Yeah. No, look, it only really becomes a hell of a problem. If the Eagles have quarterback injury issues that prevent them from winning the next game, let's say without Jalen, Kenny Pickett hopefully plays, but he's got a rib thing, so we keep our eye on that. And if you got to play, you know, week 18, you got to play your starters because you still got to clinch the division, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's a different deal. I don't expect it to come to that. You know, here's what I expect. I expect the Eagles to win next Sunday. And unfortunately for Saquon, I expect the Eagles to rest their starters week 18. Saquon gets to 2,000 yards but doesn't break Dickerson's record. And the Eagles rest the starters and enter the playoffs with 14 days off. That's what I expect. And I think that is what will happen. But I will say, aspects from within this game, because I think we look, there's two different things about this game. There's what the game means yesterday, and then there's how things project for the postseason. John, you brought up something about the defense. I think it's a really good point. They got tired. We know the defensive end rotation has been light.
Yeah.
We saw Josh Sweat get injured.
So the difference this week,
I know,
the number of plays, I think
know,
there were 68 plays this week. The number was so low the week before.
Yeah,
I mean, in the 40s.
And that could be a playoff. Like, I look at this as what could be a playoff issue. That could be a playoff issue.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the playoff game 2021, just to give you, for instance, a lot of people probably forget this. Josh Sweat didn't play in the playoff game in 2021. He had some illness or injury.
It was like a kidney thing. Or it was something out of nowhere.
So like
Something like that.
So like if something like that happened, you can see how you can get really light really quickly at that position and how in the third and fourth quarter that can make a difference when the same guys are playing almost every play. So they're
How did they get tired? Washington ran two plays in the third quarter.
Yeah, but
the time of the possession was completely skewed towards the Eagles.
But over time in that game, look, I think that was a grueling game. There was a lot going on. The ball was going back and forth constantly. There's tons of possessions. I think it was an incredibly intense game. And look, and also the effect of those guys on the edge, they've been the only players playing now for like 2 months. I mean, it's three guys. I mean, not 2 months, you know, Brandon Graham until about 3 weeks ago. But,
thin.
I mean, I think we saw a cumulative effect of those guys.
The rotation is thin. Yeah, we've been depending on Jalen Carter to play the entire game week after week after week and pretending like, you know what, it's not a big deal.
At some point, it can catch up.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, all right, now let's look at some other aspects. Special teams, kickoff and kickoff coverage, fiasco, okay? Fiasco. Now, I will acknowledge this. Obviously, in cold weather, the ball's not going to travel as far. That was clear as day. I was perplexed why Jake Elliott was not inserted to try to boot it further. I found that
because he can't boot it further.
Well, he hasn't done it all year.
Is
you know
he
that.
A
zero kicker.
Let me ask this question,
is
James.
Too weak, Joe.
Is he injured?
No, his
no,
leg
no, maybe.
Is weak.
I don't know.
Maybe.
No,
if he's injured, he's been injured the whole year. Because his leg is
No, that's what I'm kind of getting at here. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Like, in past year, forget the kick. Forget the field goals.
It is a
Let's
thing.
Talk about kickoffs.
Yes,
in past years, he would kick it right through the end zone.
And this year, our punter is kicking
that's,
off.
I understand
so
that.
So that is either due to the fact that our kicker's leg is weaker,
which
or
I
he might be injured,
that's why,
and that's part of why
yes.
it's weaker. But the bottom line is, it is weaker.
No, I
yesterday
I get
was
it.
The first day when he made a 50 yarder,
yeah.
the first kick all year
right.
over 50 that he's made. It does factor in that our punter has been kicking off because our kicker
yes.
has not had a strong enough leg to get the ball where it needs to go
correct.
On kickoff.
I would like someone to ask Sirianni. Now, we're not going to be here tomorrow because it's Christmas Eve. I would like someone to ask Sirianni,
yes, please.
Is Jake Elliott in some way banged up? Yes,
yes.
or no? Because I found it perplexing that he wasn't inserted into the game when the punter can't get the ball past the 5-yard line.
It killed him. That short field
killed him.
The punter's been doing
game.
The kickoffs all year, though.
And generally had done a good job. All right, so you have short kickoffs, but then you have horrible kick coverage. It was like a double whammy. It was like the ball would go short, and the guy
and
would.
And then
it was,
we
un,
had
it was
the
unbelievable.
Offside on top
well,
of
I know
it,
that.
Which crushed
yes.
us.
Correct. Correct. So, by the way, starting.
It was poor, though.
Starting field position on the 8 kickoffs. Okay.
Oh.
Eagles kicked it off 8 times. Ready for this, Sean?
Your voice just cracked
okay.
a little bit there.
38 yard line.
That's awful.
That's where Washington started, the 38
team,
yard line.
John Harbaugh, the special teams
yeah.
coach here. Every special teams group meeting, the first
yeah.
day of every year.
38.
Field position for starting field position matters so much in the NFL.
Yeah.
The numbers are skewed. The graphs that you see
yes.
if you start from the 30 plus, like they used to tell us, you know, 25
yeah.
plus, 30 plus, they would give us the statistics. It is a massive
yeah.
increase in success rate
yeah.
for touchdown, and that's
so,
what matters.
So that was a huge problem. Devontae jumping the ball obviously was a bummer, and they, you know, I'm sure that if he catches the ball, they probably have a 99% chance to win the game or something. CJGJ really hurt him. And listen, this is an interesting one. So here's the deal. This is where it gets interesting because we know there's constantly talk out there on the field. Constantly.
Yeah.
However, there obviously is a standard where you can't cross some kind of line.
I don't understand. I've never seen this.
Well,
this is okay.
We've seen taunting penalties. We've seen
okay,
it.
But we haven't seen a guy get ejected for simply talking.
Talking.
Right?
Talking. Simply talking. You're right.
And he got hit in the face.
Well,
he got swung on.
That should have been a penalty. So where the ref messed up there is if CJGJ did something that is taunting to such a degree that it requires a penalty, it should have been offsetting penalties because the other guy's got to get a 15-yarder for that.
Why didn't he? Over the top slanderous, the words were.
Did he like insult his mom or
I
something?
Don't know.
Like what?
How bad can it really be?
Right, so that wasn't good. I think we did clearly see the effect. Other than the one massive run, we saw the effect of no Jalen in there on the run game. It really, really, really limited. Limited Saquon. By the way, I get a little frustrated with the offensive coaching staff. We saw this in 2022. I feel like we saw it again yesterday. It's like they run the same plays even when they have a backup quarterback. I find that weird.
They have the same plays they're prioritized in the game plan.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And
I don't like it.
Yeah, they don't really fit his skill set as well as they need to, but you can't really blame them. I mean,
well,
they prepared all the way up to and into the game with Jalen Hurts under center.
But you've also had 4 months and really six or 7 months, you want to go back to the summer, to prepare for what if Jalen is injured?
Plays. No matter how prepared you are, you don't have those plays up.
But you could
this week.
But you
no,
could.
You don't. You just
but
you have
could.
The plays up that are specific to Jalen.
Kenny Pickett gets zero reps during the week. Zero with the first team. Like zero. They don't give backup quarterbacks reps with the first team. Like he's coming in cold. He can't.
No,
they can't practice a different offense. Is the point?
When
are they going to do it if the first team can't rep with him?
You just have different plays. I mean,
but it's not that simple. You have to practice plays. You don't just go out and run plays.
I'm serious. I mean, why do I have to have him?
If they have a week off this week, they could play. They could have a game plan for Kenny, but they can't.
They've had months. They've had months.
That's not the way it works, though.
Yeah,
like
but
maybe teams should spend more time with backup quarterbacks and have a plan for them,
like
but they don't.
Okay, don't like it. All right. So look, your phone calls on all this. 215.
What you're asking is unreasonable.
Okay, well, we'll see what people think.
But it's frustrating to watch it play out. That's the problem.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks.
I don't
know why.
When the backup guy that's got no legs, like Minshew 2 years ago and this guy now, has to go in there and run read option plays where he's obviously not going to keep it, like, what's the point?
Look, we'll probably never find out what CJGJ said the first time or the second time. I mean, it better have been something extreme.
Your mama?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It better have been something extreme for him to get tossed. So, but, all right. Let's go to the phones. Your reaction to it all. And how much it matters. That's the other thing. Because I don't think it really matters that much. Which is good news. All right, let's kick it off with Tom this morning. Tom, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Joe. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year to you and everyone at the morning show.
Thank you,
I really appreciate you letting me in here, man.
Of course.
Hey, you know, it might not mean nothing, but I promise you it meant something yesterday to me because I was terribly frustrated during that game and after that game. And 14 hours later, I probably slept maybe 1 or 2 hours because I don't know, man. You know, that maybe in the long run they can channel it, what Sirianni likes to do, the negativity, and turn it into a positive. But sure, if you're going to put – there was 1,000 things you could have pointed at yesterday. There's enough blame to go around, penalties, undisciplined, the defense, 22 points in the fourth quarter. But the one thing that burned my ass more than anything, the beginning, I believe, in the second quarter, Pickett comes in there, nice, takes him down the field, makes it 21-7. The Eagles recover a turnover, and then – he goes in there, and Kellen Moore, you got Saquon Barkley and Gainwell, and you're going to go ahead and pass the ball on first down and the interception. Well, that was a big surprise. What are they kidding me, Joe?
Well, look, I mean, you're not going to run the ball every play the rest of the game. Pickett had some nice passes the prior series. I think he connected with AJ 3 times. You know, he's competent. Like, he's not a total disaster. So, no, I can't tell you. It's funny, man. Tom, of everything in that game, what bothered me the least. No, I didn't like the interception. Okay, I wish he had seen it better.
So Kenny Pickett is not supposed to run. He's not supposed to pass. He's just supposed to be the handoff guy.
Yeah.
Exclusively handoff guy.
I mean, Tom, you're not going to hand it off the next 60 times in the game.
I'm saying that you're going to go ahead and throw on first down. I mean, you can't hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley or Gainwell on first down.
Just know this for what it's worth, Tom. From after Saquon's 68-yard run, I think it was, he didn't get anything going the rest of the game.
41 yards on 22 carries.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, they were literally, that's new, that all they had to do was stop it.
So,
and
Tom,
they gave him 22 carries. I mean, that's a lot of carries,
and
man.
And they gave him 29
after the 100 whatever yards already is my point. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tom, I think you're barking up the wrong tree there. By the way, quarterback-wise, quick question. Tom, thanks for the call. I assume they got to sign a quarterback, right?
Probably.
So we looked
depending
it up
on Pickett, yeah.
Well, we looked it up this morning. There is no 4-string quarterback. So, like, even if Pickett, okay, let's say Hurts doesn't play, which I would say is the likely scenario. Typically this year, when an Eagles player suffers a concussion, he normally doesn't play the next week. Now, we'll see what happens here. But normally,
I don't remember that.
No, it's true.
All across the NFL, really. It's only a couple instances of players who played after concussion.
Yeah, Ertz had a concussion last week, played this week.
Yeah, but that's been on the rare side. So, sure. So think of it this way, John. Let's say Hurts doesn't play. Let's say Pickett does. Pickett's your starter. Tanner McKee's your backup. You want to have at least a third string to be able to activate a guy if two guys get injured. So on that basis alone, you would need a third quarterback, someone to be signed. Then there's the God forbid scenario that Pickett can't play with his ribs. If that happened, you'd have to sign 2 different quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So just tuck that one away for the next, 2 days or something, because, Sirianni might, Howie might have to get busy here with signing some dudes. Let's go to Tom in Deptford. Tom, good morning.
And listen, guys, I don't want to go to everybody. All because your franchise quarterback can't slide. Are you kidding me?
That's not fair.
And Joe, don't tell me it don't matter. You want to know why it matters, Joe? Because you might see that team, and guess what? They now have confidence against us. Because they were 1 or 2 possessions from almost beating us the first time. I don't care what anybody says. Here's the other thing is, you're supposed to be this great CEO of a coach, and you're allowing your team, for the second week, you allowed a defensive line coach to get in your face. He's got no control. I always said it. He's not in control. We know who runs the team. We know it's Howie. And you know what? The players see it.
Okay, hold on.
Which incident are you saying? Because I don't know if a defensive line coach getting in his face yesterday. What are you talking about?
Not yesterday, last week. The defensive line got right.
It was a contentious moment where the head coach.
Well, you know what? I would never let it to happen. And you know what? He's allowing the defensive line coach to allow the defensive line to be, again, for the second week. That was a costly penalty.
Well, of course it was. But also, Tom, I am a bit worried with the lack of discipline. Yeah, but Tom, some of those penalties were bogus, man. I mean, the refs were a disaster yesterday. Both ways, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Lattimore was getting...
That was absurd.
I mean, it was, I mean, between Lattimore and late hit when guys get breathed on, I mean, come on.
Guess what? They're looking for it now because they know the Eagles' defensive line is over-aggressive.
Maybe.
It is a maybe. Yeah, that could be a maybe. They do need to factor that in.
Every possession counted in that game. Everyone. And if you're going to stand there and tell me it don't matter, it matters.
But, Tom, hold on, Tom. I want to address your overall arching point about Sirianni.
He's got no control.
Here we go. Hold on. Here we go.
He don't run it.
Hold on! 12-3, and they lost a game in which the starting quarterback got knocked out early, and they barely lost.
First quarter.
And it ended a 10-game winning streak. Can the guy get, like, a reprieve from you at all?
He can get a reprieve from me when he won the Super Bowl when he got out-coached. Okay? I don't think. What happened last year? That was a microcosm.
Well, it was a disaster. I know, but what about this year?
Well, you got to win that game.
Here's the thing. You don't have to.
It was sloppy.
I'd like them, Tom, to win the game.
This time of year,
man.
And it's infuriating. And it continues to happen.
I love to blame the coach all the time. Devontae Smith is a star receiver.
Catches the ball.
The game's probably won.
I totally agree.
And they had their backup quarter. If Jalen plays, they win. Yeah. They're up 14-0 in the first quarter with Jalen. It's over. The game is over. And, this is nonsense.
And also, there's this. They're not actually a machine. Okay? Like, things
they're
happen.
They're human beings, and they're fallible, yes. What a shock.
Come on, man. They're 12-3. 215-592-9494.
No, but you could be mad at a lot of stuff about yesterday's game.
Sirianni is way down on my list. Totally agree. All right. You know, one thing I did think of after the game, thank God it wasn't a playoff game. You know what I mean?
It happened with Carson Wentz when he got injured. Jadeveon Clowney.
Right. I even mentioned Devontae dropping it. Just like the notion that anything can happen. And, there was like 40 different things that went wrong for the Eagles yesterday. So, and by the way, they did a lot well. I mean, defense caused 5 turnovers. Pickett was okay. Not great. Not horrendous. AJ had a big game. I mean, obviously. Would have been good if Saquon had caught that one ball. You know, it got ripped out or whatever at the end. Anyway, 2-1.
That was a great play by Bobby Wagner.
It was a great play.
Sideline.
It was.
Knocking that ball out of there.
Kept going at him.
Had he caught that, probably ends the game. You know, we know the Devontae Smith catch. That certainly would have extended the drive at the very least. Remember, we kicked a field goal on the next play to make it a 5-point game instead of what would have been a... unsurmountable,
lead. Yeah, Washington had one timeout left, so that was you were inside the 2-minute warning.
We could have just run it out, or we could have scored a touchdown, and then it would have been totally out of reach.
Right. Maybe Washington gets it back with 15 seconds or something like that. So, you know, all right, 215-592-9494. Ray, your main takeaway from the game, what was it?
I think that the Jalen Hurts' importance to this offense cannot be overstated.
That was big.
I mean, it was really clear. I really believe the Eagles would have crushed them if he had stayed in the game. You just saw he was taking off. What it did, there was no reason to pay attention to Saquon Barkley once you loaded the box, because they weren't going to allow Kenny, which I think they should have done. I'm kind of with you on Kellen Moore. Mm-hmm. Didn't like the way he played after Jalen went out, but I think. For anyone who questions, and I'm one of them with Jalen Hurts, I'm completely convinced now this offense runs the way it does because of what he can do with his legs and his arm.
Yeah, no, Jalen nets out looking good coming from this game. Yeah. He does because of how – no, it's a weird one because they also scored 30-something points, and it wasn't like Pickett
was a
disaster.
But they scored touchdowns off those turnovers
I think the MVP thing, it's all over. Okay, yeah. I think Josh Allen's got it. But I'll say this, even if Josh Allen wasn't surging – I think Saquon's MVP candidacy would take a hit based on the ineffectiveness other than the one run after Jalen was out.
He looked like he was back on the Giants.
Absolutely.
Like, if I'm dissecting it as a voter, if I'm really dissecting the whole thing, I'd say, wait a minute here. Saquon's phenomenal, but how much of it is Jalen? Fair?
100%. I mean, I don't know how any Eagles fan didn't think some version of that yesterday.
Yeah.
That, again, they were 14-0 with Jalen. Like, the game was over, in my opinion.
What's your main takeaway from the game, Jeff?
Other than how important Jalen is to the offense, it's kind of what you said at the beginning, and it's rare to say this, but I don't really have a huge takeaway. My big takeaway is I hope everyone's healthy. Like, that's it. I don't think they were going to get the one seed anyway. I'm not saying I wanted them to lose, but it sets up where if you can just win next week, you can get a week off heading into the playoffs. Yeah. Like, it's not the worst thing that ever happened. Super annoying.
Does this make you the camera?
Here we go. Go ahead.
More appreciative, more understanding of the, you know, normal fluctuations that all quarterbacks have. And that Jalen Hurts should be credited with significantly more than you've credited him this season.
I was right with you until you went to significantly, which I would back that one off a little bit. But yes, does it make me appreciate Jalen more? Yes. Yes, it does.
That's a real positive, yeah. I guess. I mean, if something...
It felt significant yesterday,
positive Joe. Can come
no,
out
no,
of this
I know
calamitous
it did. I know it did, for sure.
Result.
But you guys also know my thing. Well, first off,
look, we lost, we were saying, hey, wouldn't it be good for this team's attitude to lose a game heading into the postseason? And then we were saying, but man, maybe we can't lose to the Commanders because then we might not win the division. It might create all
I'm
sorts of problems. Yeah. It did get a little bit complicated, but I'm not concerned about the bottom line.
I'm not either. Well, here's where I think the bottom line...
Was talking heading into this game, Joe. Here's where we got into trouble. Everyone across the nation was referring to us as the best team in the NFL.
Including us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think we still are.
Before yesterday, my
we
thing was, James.
The same.
Eagles, I thought
Bills,
they were the
Chiefs,
best
I'm not
before
sure.
yesterday, and healthy. I still think they are.
You know, at some healthy, point, though, the Chiefs, man, they don't lose.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
They can.
No, I know they can, but they
thanks,
don't.
John.
They don't. By the way, let me give you one more thing, then we'll get right back to the calls. I think there is an argument, and this is going to sound really weird, but I think it makes sense, I think, that yesterday actually could increase the Eagles' chances to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
And, yes. James, here's why. Because the starters aren't going to play Week 18 now, and otherwise they would have, because you'd be pedal to the metal to get that one seed.
It's like getting a bye in a way.
Maybe.
Yeah, and guys, remember this, that playoff game could be on a Saturday. You could have a game on a Sunday and come back with a playoff game on a Saturday. Like, you could have that. And so what I want, especially if teams like, and who knows where this goes, teams like Green Bay or Washington might not have to play their starters Week 18. I mean, there was a scenario where the Eagles would be playing their starters on a Sunday, Week 18, to try to get the one seed. And Green Bay and Washington sit their players for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
That would not have been ideal. So at this point, given the likelihood that the Eagles...
It clarifies some things.
As long as the Eagles win the next game.
As long as we are healthy enough to continue to play at the highest level.
Or just win the next game. I mean, that's... Like, I don't care if you play at the highest level. Just win the next game, sit the players, I'll see you in the playoffs. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Lower Gwinnett. Mike, good morning.
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I do got to do a side topic, just so you know. This is the official Mike Hickey, and Hickey is not a fake name.
Okay.
So the number one thing I saw from last year that I saw yesterday, so I'm blaming everything on Kellen Moore. I have no clue why they went into like what I would call a slight hurry-up offense. At what point they were still up by three or so, and it was the three-down territory. Pickett threw one. They had him standing in the back. They were lining up without going into a huddle. They ran it with Saquon, and without letting Saquon and then letting that clock tick out, they quickly go back in and go back into the shotgun with Kenny. I put it on Kellen Moore. I saw the last like 6-7 minutes of no trying to control the clock. That's how we won this year, is controlling the clock. I get to put more guys in the box because they want Kenny to throw it. But you
I didn't notice that, Mike. I mean, to me, one of the big differences. Well, look, first off, Devontae dropped the ball. Otherwise, the game's just about over.
I give you that one.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the reality is, it wasn't as easy to get those fourth quarter conversions
without Hurts,
and without Saquon Rowland. It just wasn't.
I agree. A couple of those fourth and one, fourth and two, I was like, man, we should be doing the push, the brotherly shove.
Yeah, but we can't.
Quinton Mitchell, he got beat too on that one.
It's okay. You know what, though? He faced a good receiver, man. He's not going to win them all. It's okay.
I know. I just, it hurt. That one hurt.
I get it. All right, Mike. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy everything to you. Happy holidays, buddy.
Back to you.
Appreciate it, man. James, the Phillies made a move over the weekend. Let's just address that as well. So, Jesus Luzardo. What's the deal, James?
I love it.
That's what everyone seems to be saying.
It's an awesome, awesome move. Like, to be able to get 2 years of control of Luzardo for Starlin Cabba, who is a nice shortstop prospect, a 80-grade defender, the highest-graded defensive shortstop you can be. But who knows if he can hit? We've been through this with Rojas, and he's blocked. We've got Turner here. So this to get a guy like Luzardo, who slots right into the rotation, high-end upside, was formerly the top prospect in baseball at one point, like power lefty, had a really good year a couple years ago. Last year was dealing with injuries. Ton of upside. And for a team that it seems is not going to spend a ton of money this offseason, it seems. You know, a move like this where you can, you know, make yourself really strong in a certain area with the starting pitching, especially with the Dodgers and the Mets doing what they're doing, I think it's a really smart move.
Top prospect in all of baseball?
At a certain time, yeah.
Years back.
Wow, that's
James,
great.
Would you say
And he's
Luzardo,
only 27, by the way, so like right in his physical prime, too.
Luzardo, best Phillies fifth starter in our lifetime?
I mean, I think he's not the fifth. I think he's like the third. Timur Sanchez as the three. He's definitely above
Ranger. By the way, I don't like when people say, you see, I don't like that, James. Ranger to me is above Sanchez if healthy.
All right, he might not be healthy. This is semantics. My point is, Christopher Sanchez, I think, is a better pitcher than Ranger Suarez.
Maybe.
Personally.
But maybe not.
And I think Jesus Luzardo is a better pitcher than Ranger Suarez. Okay. And his ceiling is
really
high.
Well, let's put it this way. If Ranger is the five, then he's the best Phillies fifth starter
Either
of all time.
Way, they have a chance to have the best starting rotation in baseball.
So let me add one more question, James.
Not even mentioning Painter, by the way, is like a six.
Well, that's why I'm getting to this question. Percentage chance, James, that Ranger is traded before the season starts?
I think it obviously went up. I don't think it's a lock, but I think if you look at the team, we've talked like, boom, oh, he's the guy most likely to go. I think you look at the team now, if I had to pick one player who's most likely to be traded, I would say Ranger.
Is it below a 50% chance?
I'd probably put it somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, keep your eye on it, because especially with the Painter reality.
He's a free agent after this season, Ranger. Just signed with Scott Boras, you know, all that.
I mean, presumably contract discussions have occurred between Ranger and the Phillies. I mean, somebody has probably approached somebody. Either the Phillies approached him or he approached them. In all likelihood, they haven't agreed to terms. You know, they're probably looking to cash in big if you're Boras and Ranger. And the Phillies have stocked themselves with all sorts of options, as James pointed out, which include Painter at some point in likelihood in the summer. All right, 215-592-9494. The good news is, John, this is a further nail in the coffin of Taijuan Walker as a Philly.
Do you promise?
No, I don't actually promise. But I'm just kind of floating it out there a little bit. Let's get to Derek. He's calling from Paoli. Good morning, Derek.
What's up? Good morning. I want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas, man. Y'all do make people's, you know, drives. I'm a truck driver, so listening to y'all talk sports all day.
Thanks, Derek.
Throughout the year.
Merry Christmas,
now,
bud.
As far as the game yesterday, I'm never satisfied or happy about a loss. But one thing I will say is it just shows people that call every day, people that host the shows, and they just take away the value of some of the stuff that the Eagles do on offense. Like, people laugh about the tush push, right?
No, it's real. Voice cracks.
Plays,
it's real.
Right?
That was
How
bad.
How do you call your plays on first down, second down, third down?
Sorry, Derek.
Yeah.
We've got prepubescent Joe DeCamera today. There are a couple crackly crackers.
But you're
here.
Right. But Derek, you're right. The tush push is a real thing, and Jalen's a huge part of it.
We just take all that kind of stuff for granted. Even with Saquon Barkley, like, he had an unbelievable year. Don't get me wrong. But just having to, like, focus just on him, like, he had no chance yesterday. And Kenny Pickett, he didn't play bad. He didn't play all year. But I just feel like people like Spike Eskin and Jack some callers. They call it, they just rip Hurts. Anybody can run this offense. No, they cannot, bro. They cannot.
No, there's a lot to it. He makes it look so easy. He makes it, yeah. He's very, very good at those decisions.
You know. Hey, Joe, the camera.
Yes, sir.
A lot of your comments, man, you're trending towards like you're going to have like a Howard Stern show pretty soon.
Oh, that would mean I'd make $500 million in one contract.
I'm in, Joe.
Yeah, I'll go there. I'll go there.
You sound like you could be Robin, Rhea.
I'm more than happy to make Robin money, okay? I'm in. Where do I sign?
Yeah, right. Sign me up too, man. Y'all have a good holiday.
Thanks,
though.
Derek. Good stuff, buddy. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Harry, red tag, bonus cash, and soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. All right, there's a lot of things that could have been in this poll. We've narrowed it down to four. We'll give you these four choices. For which of these four annoyed you the most yesterday? The word we're going with is annoyed. Which of these annoyed you the most yesterday? Choice A, CJGJ gets ejected, which, by the way, has a double meaning. You could be annoyed at the ref, or you could be annoyed at CJGJ. So
I'm not sure who to be more annoyed at.
I know.
I mean, that's a tough one.
I know. I kind of wish it was two different choices.
Words?
But Twitter only gives us four choices. So yeah. I hear you, Ray. Words, I mean, all right. Choice B, the defense in the fourth quarter. So obviously, 20 points in the fourth quarter is not good. Choice C, Devontae's drop. Very, very, very similar to the Saquon thing earlier this year. The Saquon one definitively would have ended the game. This one just about would have ended the game as Washington had one timeout left. Choice D, kickoffs / kickoff coverage, which were just, I mean,
abysmal.
They were abysmal.
From the opening kickoff.
I know.
Kickoff.
Well, that one went right out of bounds. Or no, not out of bounds.
No, that was the one, the penalty.
Didn't go far enough.
Yeah, and they started on the 40.
Didn't go far enough. All right. So CJGJ ejection, defense in the fourth quarter, Devontae's drop, kickoff and kickoff coverage. Which one annoyed you the most? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Certainly you can wait on the phone lines as well, 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. I think this might have been his first answer, maybe second answer yesterday, of the press conference when he kind of summed it up, and I thought he applied a good word to describe things. Here's Sirianni postgame.
Just curious what your biggest takeaway is from it.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I have to be able to watch the tape and tell you everything what happened, but just sloppy, sloppy with penalties, sloppy with too many men on the field, sloppy with our fundamentals. And when you play a good football team like we played today and you're sloppy regardless of how many turnovers you force, it's going to be hard to win. And I think, what I said to those guys is like when it's sloppy with every piece of that, that's always going to be on me as the head coach.
Sirianni, I think it's a reasonable answer. Got no problems with it. Matter of fact, I like it. I respect it. I think it's on point. John, I also thought the refs, though, were really sloppy. And sometimes I think people go too far with the criticisms. They were all over the place yesterday. They hurt the Eagles. They hurt Washington.
Yeah, both ways.
I couldn't believe some of the penalties.
They were uber aggressive. And it did feel like there were times, I don't know, that I felt targeted as an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. Like Jalen Carter.
The D-line stuff,
he
right?
He must feel like they're singling him out at times. I mean, the one where he just, shoved a guy and the guy tripped over a pile.
Yeah.
That was absurd.
But let me just ask this question. Let's go one by one.
Love that we are aggressive. Yeah. I love that we have sort of a swagger to us and we have a reputation.
Yeah.
But when it works against us, it did yesterday, it's gone too far. We need to dial it back somehow.
Let me ask a question. I want to, because that one to me, so I thought it was not really a penalty. However, the play was clearly over. He did push the guy. It was bad luck. Someone's right behind him, so he trips and it makes it noticeable. Like if the guy doesn't trip, it's probably not a penalty. But John, should the league call that or not when a guy falls, when it's clearly
well,
after the whistle?
That is more of a penalty than yelling words at someone. I know that words can be hurtful and painful and all that stuff, but...
And taunting. They can be a form of taunting. Can be.
I guess. It's just hard. It is so hard for me to understand.
I know.
That CJGJ did nothing physically anyone.
No question.
And then I saw a guy haul off and punch him in the head.
Which should have been a penalty.
And he, nothing against the Commanders on that one. And that's the first personal foul against him. And then I'm supposed to just accept that someone heard him say mean things, and that's why he's ejected. I didn't see it.
I know.
I'm so frustrated with that whole concept that can even happen.
Let me read what the referee said. Because after games like this, there will be a one pool reporter. If you don't know that term, what it means one member of the media will get the opportunity to talk to the referee or a referee to get a statement and then disseminate that information to the other reporters who all get to report it. So the pool reporter met with the NFL referee Sean Smith yesterday. Here's what the ref said after the game. He said, quote, he's talking about CJGJ. He's basically taunting the opponent on the second foul. He already had a first one earlier in the game that we announced as his first towards disqualification. So this became his second. He was taunting the player. So that's a disqualification by rule. Now, where it gets really tricky is, does every chirping thing out there count as taunting or not?
How does Brandon Graham not been thrown out of every game? He runs his mouth constantly.
I know.
You changed the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
Changed the outcome of the game because you decided you didn't like the way he talked. That's not the way the football is supposed to work, I don't think. So there's something missing in terms of the accountability for all of this. He got hauled off on, too, and there was no penalty associated.
Unless, obviously, it was so incredibly extreme.
That feels so biased against him. Did you not throw a penalty when he got hit because he said was so nasty?
I think that's
the impression that I got.
Well,
and if that's the case, that's wrong. You're holding back against the other team. You're holding back against penalizing the other team. I feel like that happened on more than one occasion yesterday, and I feel like we got flagged on more than one occasion when we shouldn't have. If that continues moving forward, our defense, which was, I don't know if we still are statistically going to be considered the top defense in the league, but our reputation preceding us in the wrong way can impact our bottom line, in the postseason, I don't want that to happen.
Well, I don't either, but I will say this. No matter whether it should have or should not have risen to the level of a first penalty, we all need CJGJ to know once you've gotten one and you're one more away from being ejected, you got to err on the side of caution. I agree.
But part of his impact for our team is that he's yelling at guys. He's getting guys fired up. He's yelling both ways at our guys, at their guys. That's part of why he's so amazing for us. He's the charger for our battery. And that really does make a team better when you got the crazy guy screaming and yelling. Yeah. I don't know. It gives you energy.